I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, I believe. We'll kind of be going around there a little bit. The film, The Perfect Storm. It's a true story about an ocean-going fishing boat that went off the coast of Massachusetts. And as they were out, the storm developed in kind of the North Atlantic, and they were trying to get back home through the storm. And if you've seen the movie, it was the coming together of some really big storms. I mean, a huge hurricane, and then another storm front that was coming off the coast of the United States, and then another cold front that was coming down from Canada. I mean, it was the perfect storm. In the movie, they're kind of heading through the storm, and at some point, the captain says, listen, we got to turn around. I mean, and they're in like 50-foot seas, right? And every one of them are threatening to kind of broach the boat. And the captain is up in the wheelhouse with one of the other crewmen, my guy crush, Mark Wahlberg. I mean, he's a cool guy, right? And they're up in the cabin, and all the others are below deck. And so the captain says, we've only got one chance at this. Because we're going to have to go up and face into the wave and then turn around, surfing it back down. And the Mark says, we're on first name basis. Mark then goes, you know, we've got only one chance at this, right? And he says, what if we don't make it? And to that, the ever gorgeous George Clooney turns and says, then we pray. Well, isn't that typical, right? I mean, isn't typical of the world, friends? If we're honest, and it's typical for us as well, after we have exhausted all other remedies, after we've exhausted all other options, have tried everything else, then we pray. Well, it may be normal for the world, but we're not in the world, are we, friends? I mean, we're children of the King. We're sons and daughters of the King. And prayer is to be a natural response of loving character of God. I mean, he has said time and time again, this is what I am here for. This is who I am. I mean, come to me. Pray to me. Ask me what you will. See, prayer is not a dead practice, right? Or a religious ritual. How we pray, the way we approach prayer is a natural response of a person who is in a loving relationship with God. Look at that again. How we pray, the way that we approach prayer, is a natural response of a person who is in a loving relationship with God. This is a normal response of a transformed heart. The normal response, not the whipped response, not the guilted response, the normal natural response is to come to God in prayer. Now, we're going to deal with some of the questions of this passage, because I think it's a tough passage in a lot of ways. But remember this, and I need you to remember what this passage is about. It's about prayer. Instead of being the final act when we have exhausted all of the options after we've done everything else, prayer needs to be our first option, our first line of defense. Prayer should be our first natural response, friends. I mean, what do we equate with our natural response, right? I mean, it's our instinct, right, don't we? We're in a situation, and then all of a sudden you're presented with a problem, and then you kind of react naturally to it, right, instinctively to it. You're diving down a road, and all of a sudden someone pulls out of the driveway, right into your way. We don't stop and think, now, I wonder what I should do in this situation. Now, someone has pulled out in front of me direct. No, we instinctively slam on the brakes, don't we? I mean, it's instinct in who we are. I mean, I heard of a woman who came home to find her husband kind of in the kitchen shaking frantically and what looked like a wire kind of hanging from his waist towards the electrical, to the electric blender, intending to jolt him away from this deadly current. She instinctively whacked him in the arm with a broomstick, breaking his arm in two places, and until that moment, he had been happily listening to some good 80s rock on his iPad. Instinct, friends. Instinct without knowledge is dangerous, isn't it? I mean, it's true though, right? That our first instincts, our first response is a great indicator of who or what we believe in. When trouble happens, what do? We call 911, right? I mean, right away. We trust the fire department, right? If we see a crime, what do? Call 911. We get the police there right away. We can trust the police. When a child is far away from their parents and they get hurt or they're scared, they're yelling, what? Mom, Dad, I mean, come and help me. And don't you see those parents running through crowds, lifting boulders, tearing down trees just to get to their child who is yelling their name, right? Their instinctive first response, our instinctive first response, is to seek out those whom we put our trust in. And so James has a suggestion here in verse 13 of who that might be. Verse 13, it says this. Is any of you in trouble? And the word trouble here, it's in this place and only one other place in the whole New Testament. It's a Greek word there. And it means trouble not related to injury or illness. Because, see, James is going to deal with injury later, right? Pain and suffering later, right? And so trouble not related to injury or illness. So that could be financial trouble. I mean, it could be legal trouble. It could be occupational trouble. It could be relational trouble. It's all kinds of trouble in our lives. I mean, trouble all the time. I'm in trouble. Things are not going well. This situation has arisen and I don't know how to deal with it. Are you in trouble? James asks. And then he says, is anyone happy? I mean, are things going well for you right now? I mean, well, remember where that came from. Remember who is sovereign God and is allowing these things into your life and praise him for it. Thank him for it. I mean, the thing that is most important for us to realize is that we don't make these kind of rules and tack them up on the wall. Well, I'm in trouble now, so it's time to pray. Check mark. Oh, I'm kind of feeling really good right now. It's time to pray. Check mark. These are two rules I get to live by, right? Two more boxes I get to check off in my spiritual discipline life. No, that's not the idea. See, the idea here is that we're building up a relationship with the one that we trust so that your instinct in all situations is to go to that person, right? It's the building up of relationship and prayer and thanksgiving. It's coming to God with our needs, coming to God with our thanks. It just should be a natural outflow of our relationship with him. I mean, this call that James has for us is a call to a reconciled relationship with God, right? I mean, it's that we are his children and he is to invade every area of our life. The truth is that when we recognize that God is alongside of us in our troubles and our joys and our areas of struggle and our relationships, our finances, is to recognize this intimately loving and gracious friend with unlimited power and wisdom is with us, and we are called to apply that character to each situation that we're in. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I mean, do you know that God is praying for you all the time? That God, the Holy Spirit, is praying for you all the time. And James is inviting us. All he's doing is inviting us to join the Holy Spirit in praying and experience that communication that takes place between ourselves and God. I mean, prayer should be a natural outpouring of our life with God. Bad news, you pray. Good news, you pray. We're forgetting and we're getting news all the time. Everything that happens in our lives, friends, should be a trigger for us to pray. Everything that happens should be a trigger for us to pray. Pray without ceasing, right? That's what it says, right? Everything that happens in your life should trigger your prayers. We also recognize that prayer is a result of a relationship. See, the deeper the relationship is with someone, the more intimate the communication would be. I do not have the same kind of communication with the grocery store checkout, although now it's like that's the only person you get to see. So maybe you do have an intimate relationship, you know, communicating with a grocery store checkout person, but not me. If you, I do not have the same relationship with a grocery store checkout person as I do with my brother Dean. I don't. And I do not have the same kind of conversations with the waiter at Lincoln House as I do with Michelle. And I do not have the same deep conversations with the person who rotates my tires as I do with my wife, Jen, right? When we build relationships and those relationships get deeper, and the deeper they get, the mode of our communication changes. The deeper those relationships get, the mode of our communication changes and grows, and in time, our sharing will have a greater weight, a greater substance. It'll be deeper than ever before. Verse 14 says, is any of you sick? Does any of you have an ailment? They should call upon the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, the word that's translated here, sick, is actually the word for weak. Right, but in context, it's pretty clear that James is talking about a physical ailment as opposed to a mental spiritual struggles that he just got done talking about. And you know what? It's not always easy, is it, to share with each other those physical weaknesses. It's not always easy for us to say, you know, I got this problem, and I've got this illness, and I got this pain. And James' instructions are extremely clear here. Now, we're going to deal with the results of prayer in just a moment, but let's look at this at two levels of prayer that are being offered here. Is any of you sick? They should call upon the elders of the church. Now, here's the thing. The outlet of method of prayer is very, very rarely used, isn't it? I've been a pastor for 27 years now. I know, I look so young. I started when I was five. Well, I've been a pastor for 27 years. Let me say that. See, I'm getting senile in my old age. I have prayed for thousands of people for various reasons. Sometimes there's a nudge for me to pray for somebody. And I've called some of you about this. You know, I called to say, hey, God's led me to pray for you. Or I hear about a need from somebody else, and I give you a call and pray, whatever it is. Before I came to Effort of Church of the Brethren, I prayed each day for this body of faith. I pray each day currently for you all. I pray for those things that I do know, and I pray for those things that I don't know about. I pray for wisdom and leading and strength when we are weak. I pray that people here at ECOB grow up and be more like Jesus each and every day. I pray for our kids and our students and our young adults, our empty nesters and our seniors. I pray for our staff. I pray for those who serve. I pray for our leadership team each and every day. And what I have come to realize is that while I have prayed and prayed, and I know so many other people pray and pray for so many in this community, I find it interesting that there are so few that actually do what the Scripture calls us to do. When we are sick, when we are in need, we are to go to someone, right? The elders, pastors, deacons, that's what it says here, and ask for prayer. Candidly, I should go through my day getting constant texts, emails, and phone calls asking for prayer. And I want to do that, right? I mean, especially now, please call me. I want to talk. No, I mean, I really do want to do that. I want to pray for you, right? And I do think that we struggle in doing that because when we do that, we feel like we're putting some kind of undue burden on somebody else, don't we? We feel like, oh no, they're so busy. They can't meet with me. Oh, they're so busy, they can't talk with me. So I'm going to keep this to myself. But that's not what James calls us to do, right? He calls us to make sure that we're reaching out and telling people that we have a need. And it's easy to forget that when we're sick, instead of trying to do it by ourselves, God has provided us with people, a faith community, spiritual leaders, people who have a demonstrated walk with God, who can be the people in our lives that can be the hands and feet and touch and voice of Jesus. There's a child, his name was Timmy, and he was really afraid of thunderstorms. I mean, very scary stuff, right? I mean, when you're a little kid, that's going to terrify you. And his mom and dad went into his room one evening, and the thunderstorm was kind of occurring, and they said, now, Tim, listen, don't be afraid. God is right here in this room with you. And he said, okay, I won't be afraid. But then his mom and dad kind of went to the other room and they started getting ready for bed, and the lightning clapped and the thunder rolled and Timmy screamed bloody murder. And Tim's dad and mom, they went back into the room and they said, honey, we thought we told you. You didn't need to worry about anything. I mean, God is right here with you. And Timmy responded, yes, you know, I know God is with me here in this room, but I need somebody with skin on. Yeah, the worst thing in the world is to be alone, isn't it? And by and large, 95% of us, we love being around people. The other 5% is loving this stay-at-home order. Especially during this time, I believe that we yearn to be around others. And being alone when you're sick, or being alone when you're depressed, or when you're weak is horrible. Being alone, friends, can be difficult. It's tough. And so one of the things James says here is when you are weak, like when you are sick, when you are in need, don't do it alone. Call in the troops, right? Get with people who can comfort you and give you hope and pray for you, right? I mean, that's what we're to do when we're weak and we're lonely and we need somebody. We are to reach out because God has provided each and every one of us those who can surround us and encourage us and pray for us. Brothers and sisters, we need each other.
God has made the church for a reason. God has made a church to be an organism to take care of the needs of his people. And when we have a loving relationship with God, it is natural to share our minds and hearts and fears and hopes and our dreams and our joys and all of our needs. And why is it natural for us to do that with God? Because we know that his concern for us is never ending. And that the concerns we have are the concerns that God has as the one who loves us. And this gets played out at home, doesn't it? I mean, we come home from work and from other situations and something bad has happened that day, right? And you all can just picture this in your mind of a day that has happened like that. We come home and what do? Well, I know what I do. I pray. Actually, I'm praying all the way home, right? I'm in the car and I'm praying, right? And if I need someone to talk to, I share what isn't confidential with Jen, right? And I reflect with my mentors and my coaches and my clearness team because, friends, I don't know all the answers. And I need those perspectives and I need those prayers of people who love me and care for me. And I'm sure you do the same thing, right? You go home and you call your friend or you call your spouse or you get together with your life group when things are going bad. And we share because we have something going on in our heart and we know that there's somebody out there who's willing to hear that. And our concerns are their concerns and their concerns are our concerns. And so it's a natural thing. And James says, if you're sick, you get help from some of your friends and get some help from your Heavenly Father, right? And he's standing there saying, I can help you. Reach out to me, right? I'm right here. You don't have to go anywhere. Just come and talk to me is what Paul's saying, right? Or what James is saying. And we, his children, we sometimes kind of run by him, right? And we see God there, but we just kind of run by because we have something else. We want to find something else that'll take care of those issues in our lives, right? But God says, I'm right here, friends. And I have all of the power and all of the love. And I have sent you a bunch of people who will support you and encourage you. And all you have to do is just reach out and touch them. Reach out and grab a hold of them and tell them that you need them. See, friends, prayer unleashes an omniscient and all-knowing power of God, right? This passage is one of these wonderful ones. In verse 15, it says, a prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well, right? Now, listen, that's really that's a tough phrase for many people, right? A prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is both powerful and effective. Right now, Ryan preached on the part of the scripture that shares about that we are confess our sins to one another. He just did that a couple weeks ago. If you want to listen to it, it's a great sermon. Go back, listen to it a couple of weeks ago. Not right now, just wait till the end of this, right? Then go back and listen to that. But there's something to note here about this language. It is very specific, very, very specific. Because it sounds like to me that when we pray for a person, everything should just stop. And the person will pop up and everything will be better, right? I mean, it says that. The prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. So if I'm praying for somebody and they're not getting well, then I must not be a person who has faith, right? No. How many of you experienced this in your life when you've prayed for somebody and nothing happened the way you thought the prayer should go? Yeah, me too. Even Paul, the mighty Paul in 2 Corinthians, has this thorn in his flesh, and he says this, 3 times I pleaded with God to take it away from me, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient, right, for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is omniscient prayer. That is all-powerful prayer, because ultimately, a prayer of faith says, this is what I want to happen, right, God? I mean, this is what I think should happen, God, but I'm coming to you, God, because I know that you know what is going to happen and what should happen because of the situation that I am in, and I need to let go and let you have control over my life. I'm still going to say what I want, right? I'm still going to say what I think I need because that's just who I am, but I need to let go and trust that God knows what is best for this situation and that I should let go of that. I'm going to come to you in faith, believing that you will respond to this prayer in a way that is ultimately the best for me, right? The prayer of faith is a prayer that recognizes both God's power to heal and his infinite wisdom to perhaps not heal. God is sovereign. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective, friends. Perhaps not the way you think they ought to be, but in the way that God intends them to be. However, with all that said, it's important to know that God uses us, his children, in mighty and powerful ways, even us, as much as we are to not think too highly of ourselves. God uses our lives and our prayers and our purpose beyond comprehension or control. And I think that's kind of what the final part of the scripture shows us. Your faith is lived out in prayer. Specifically, no matter who you are, your prayers mean something powerful. Prayer changes who we are and brings the will of God into a clearer perspective. And so for some this morning, the sermon might be hitting it right where it should, because maybe you haven't prayed or you don't pray, and maybe you're not focused fully on the will of God. I mean, we haven't taken the time to communicate with God, right? The deep desires that we have, and then made ourselves open to hear the response, right, that God has for us. No, it's one thing to pray for somebody down the block who is poor and alone, and that's important. It's an important thing. However, to make yourself open to be the answer to that prayer, that's a whole nother ballgame. For others, this prayer understanding hits us in another direction. We pray, but our life is stale and it's not filled with passion or hope. And for others, maybe your prayer life is strong, but it serves as a reminder and a call from James here, is that we need to go further in our prayer with one another, especially in those times of need. And this is simply about prayer. It's about praying for one another. I mean, if we are normal people, and I think maybe about 72.3% of us are normal people, right? Our prayer lives need a boost, don't they? Because, see, when we pray, it affects all that we are and all that we do. And so we're going to open up this morning and do something a little bit different. And for those of you on Facebook, if you need some prayer, I just want you to post, "Pray for me." That's it, in the comments section. Or if you want, you can text me your name. And I'm serious. I'm giving my number. It's right up on the screen, right, for everyone to see. 240-357-1603. And I just want you to text me your name. You don't have to say what it is. You don't have to specifically put down what you need prayer about, although if you want to, that's fine. But I just want you to put on there, "Please pray for me." If you know a situation or a person who needs prayer and you want to stand in the gap for them, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. And I want you to pray for that person this morning. You know, it doesn't have to be something formal or eloquent, right? It's just a prayer from your heart. You know, I love our church, and we have a deep prayer life in the midst of this body of Christ, and I am so eternally grateful for that. And we just want to keep diving deeper and deeper into this rich soil of prayer. We're going deeper in our prayer life as a church, and I want to continue on this path, seeking God in our words and in our actions. There is power in prayer, friends. Perhaps not about the changing situation that we find ourselves in, but perhaps it is preparing us for what is coming next. And we need to be surrounding each other, right? We need to be surrounding our church, and we need to be surrounding effort and all of the surrounding communities in prayer. Friends, I want you to know that our staff prays for you, and our leadership team, they pray for you. And that I know that there are countless others who are watching this right now, that as you're putting down, "Pray for me," they're already now lifting you up in prayer. So for a while here, we're going to pray together. And I encourage you, I mean, we're going to spend time on this. And it'll be awkward because, you know, we're kind of looking at a screen here. But God, I just pray that we just get on our knees right now if you desire, or you lift your hands if you desire, or whatever you need to do to get yourself in an attitude of prayer this morning. Just do it. And so, friends, may we humble ourselves together to the mercy seat of God. Pray, friends, because God is listening. God desires to hear your voice. And so right now, let us just take some time to pray for each other. I'm going to do that for each person in this room here as I go back and sit down. Just pray for one another. And may this time deepen our community and strength and our resolve in Christ. Friends, let's pray. God, we are so grateful for this time in which we can lift one another up in prayer. And God, I'm just so grateful for the vulnerability of all of those who are watching, whether it's from ECOB or outside of ECOB, to be vulnerable enough to just put pray for me out there. When I kind of walked off the stage, my leg just started vibrating all over the place because of all the people who were just saying, please pray for me. And God, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to just pray for brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, I just pray that as we continue to walk this journey of what it means to do life together and to be with one another and to pray for one another and encourage one another and support one another and serve one another, Lord God, to care for one another, that we're willing to do this more and more, to reach out to those whom we know who desire to serve and desire to pray for one another, that we can reach out to them and allow them to be your hands and feet here on this earth. God, may we be willing and vulnerable to just let go and to just say those words, pray for me. God, we are so grateful for an opportunity here this morning to just lift you up, to praise your name in our worship, to listen to your word, and then to make that word applicable in our life each and every day. So God, bring us peace and bring us hope and bring us joy even in the midst of our lives, whether we are in the low valley going through it or if we are on the mountaintop, we celebrate you, Lord God. We release these things to you, Lord God, as we go about the beginning of our week. And we pray that this week is filled with your hope that we can see so dominantly in our life, Lord God, and that we praise you each and every step that we take. And that as we gather together in different seasons and different sessions and different ways, Lord God, we pray that as we do, your name would be lifted up on high and that your love permeates all who we are. God, we're a family of disciples that connect to and grow in and live out and radiate the transformative power of Jesus in this world. May it be so now, this week, and forevermore. May your will be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray.